ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Brought to you by Zadok Jewelers, KFNC and KFNC HD2, Mont Bellevue, Houston.
Beasley switching in. The U.S. go up. What a goal from Carlos Bocanegra.
Boyd will try a long hit. What a goal from Lloyd. This is spectacular. It's hit with no regard for humanity. Is this the moment for Shaqiri? Yes, it is. Switzerland and Shaqiri have scored in the 90th minute. That was worth the price of admission alone.
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
We are ready to go tonight here, and we will crown a new Europa League champion. It is Villarreal today beating Manchester United in penalty kicks. We're going to talk about it tonight. Welcome into Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. On the heels of Fred and AJ, it is, as always, presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. We stream at ESPN975.com. By the way, this is your home for soccer coverage in Houston. You know that. And Dynamo Radio. We still have four Dynamo games to do, Eddie Robinson and myself. So get ready for that in the future, as well as all 34 games now in English language. All the others on Channel 55, like Saturday night. Join Eddie and I for the call. The Dynamo go to Sporting Kansas City. By the way, Sporting will be fully open. So this will be probably the toughest environment the Dynamo have faced from the standpoint of fans getting in your face and great environment. So that should be a very interesting game. Tab Ramos going up against his former teammate, Peter Vermes. We all know Sporting and Houston matches are always ones of real interest. So today, Villarreal beating Manchester United in penalty kicks. 713-780-3776 is the number to call in. Hope you're all doing well. Let's face it, the 120 minutes, if you were going to go play tennis or shopping, it probably would have been a good idea. It was 120 minutes taken away from our lives. This happens in finals. The drama came in penalty kicks. It came down to goalkeepers. In the end, David De Gea was saved in Villarreal. Villarreal wins this one for the little guy, let's face it, against the Giants of Manchester United. The wage bill, not even close. I'm going to give this one to Unai Emery over Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. And I will also say the players that needed to step up for Manchester United on a day like today, the Paul Pogbas of the world, the Marcus Rashfords, they didn't deliver. Bruno Fernandes, Mason Greenwood. And they put themselves a bit in the hole because they conceded the game's first goal. They got off to a bad start. And if you remember yesterday, we were on this show talking about this game. We talked about a number of different things that were concerns. One was conceding the first goal. Two, what were you going to do without Harry Maguire? Eric Bailly got the start. And it was rough. Maguire was out with ligament damage. Anthony Martial was out as well. This game was played in Gdansk, Poland. And we talked. We were concerned about Victor Lindelof and the center back situation. Gerardo Moreno, by the way, was second in the league in goals scored to Lionel Messi. And he scores the game's first goal, comes off a free kick. He gets in behind a Manchester United back line defending a free kick that does not drop off. So you're in trouble there. They ended up going to penalty kicks. They went 11-10 on penalty kicks. David De Gea got down to the goalkeepers. Rulli smashed his penalty in for Villarreal. David De Gea's was saved by Rulli moments later. Goalkeepers played a big part in this in the penalties. Moreno got his 30th. Cavani tied it up for United. Cavani worked his tail off. It's a good thing he's coming back for another year. So there was drama. But in the end, Unai Emery won it, got the most out of his players. Used tactics to bridge the gap with Manchester United and Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. Emery, by the way, remember, he was with Sevilla, has won the Europa League a number of times. It's a small little city of 50,000. It's a big statement for the underdog when it comes to the breakaway Super League that was attempted. So These are the moments you would lose if there was a European Super League. The smaller budget, the minnow, the underdog, whatever you want to call them, against the odds, getting a result, winning a historic title. Let's go to the great friend of mine. He is also the author of Forever a Babe. Just a great, great friend of mine, and he joins us now, Tom Clare. Tom, how are you?
Good evening, Glenn. I'm fine, thank you.
Well, are you sure you're fine? Because I'm not sure you're totally fine.
I'm disappointed with the result, yeah, but I'm also disappointed with the showing.
Yeah, take us a little bit into it today. It did not seem like United could get their game changers going today.
Nobody, you know, they just did not get going at all. They didn't create too much. They, you know, they didn't threaten too much. There was no real, you know, opportunities created, and some of the so-called star players, they just didn't perform.
You had mentioned yesterday, and I think a lot of people did, that conceding the game's first goal could have real repercussions, and I think it did, didn't it?
I beg your pardon, Glenn, what was that?
Conceding the game's first goal was a real problem.
That's what I've always thought. It's been a problem for United all season, you know. I mean, a lot of people, especially down at the King's Court today, when they were going to go behind, it was this laissez-faire thing, you know. Well, you know, we've always been going behind. But as I say to them, you go one behind, it takes two to beat it. And we never looked, we never even looked like threatening at all, you know. Like you said in your introduction, I mean, Cavani played his heart out. Once you take him out of that equation, where were the star players? Where was Pogba? Where was Fernandes? And don't, you know, mention Rashford.
Yeah, had a really rough day. We're talking to Tom Clare. He's a noted author. He's written the book Forever a Babe. You can look up all of Tom's books. And Tom has done a tremendous amount for the soccer community here in Houston. He hosts the Houston Soccer Community Dinner for Pediatric Cancer. He came back into town because he organized the Manchester United supporters group who met down at King's Court today. Now, Tom, my understanding is, you know, you were like the next coming of the Pope down there. Everybody was coming up to you and really, really excited and glad to see you.
Yes, they were. And it was tremendous for me because we haven't been back in Houston for over 2 years. And, you know, to see lots of old friends from the Manchester United group that I formed way back in 2005. And to see a lot of old friends, and they made a lot of new ones today as well, Glenn, you know, and for those people to turn out just to come down to see me and wish me well and say hello was tremendous.
Well, I know two or three who just drove down to see you because they heard that you were coming to town. So,
yeah.
You know, we are indebted to you for everything you've done for our soccer community here over the years, and what you've done with the dinners and bringing over these legendary players to be the centerpiece of these dinners. So big thanks to you and Cheryl for that. What's that, sir?
I said I miss it all so much.
Well, we're going to get back to it, and I know we have plans for it and helping out the Snowdrop Foundation as well. All right, so David Elliott missed the penalty, and you had to really feel for him. But what do you think his future is? Is he done now? Is he going back to Spain?
I think so. I think so. I think Henderson is now. I think Ollie's played his main card with it. I don't think David Gea is going to take another year of sitting on the bench. And why should he? He's given 11 years tremendous service to the club, and he's been a stalwart. You know, he had a shaky start when he first arrived as a raw teenager, but then he developed into at one time probably, you know, the world's finest goalkeeper. So good luck to the boy. I'm pretty certain that he'll be on his way, you know, before the season starts.
All right. So now the smoke is cleared here. We're going into an international window. What are your thoughts? Do you have any thoughts on kind of what happens here now? What happens in the transfer market? Do you think Harry Kane's a real option for United? Just give us your initial thoughts.
It depends how much you want the player, doesn't it, Glenn? And how much, you know, the owners are prepared to back the manager. That's the thing. Obviously, Ollie has a strategy. He's already said he's got three players out earmarked that he would like to sign. Now, whether three players he's going to get the funds to do that. We don't know. We'll just have to wait and see. But we certainly need, we in my opinion, we badly need a top class, commanding centre half, a guaranteed striker. I mean, I don't know what, Kane is going to cost, but it's obviously going to break the bank. And there's not many clubs can do that. And I would think there's only sort of Chelsea and Manchester City in England who've got any chance of sort of matching the fee that Daniel Levy will put upon him. It's my guess that Kane may even finish up in Europe.
So the headline in the Manchester City Evening News, which is a paper I know you have read many times because you've grown up in Manchester, I want to remind my listeners, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's lack of courage cost Manchester United in Europa League final. United ended another season trophyless. Their manager got the team wrong, which compromised his in-game management. Now, I haven't read the article. That's an awful lot for a headline.
Yes, it is. It is indeed, But what I will say about Ollie, there's no two ways about it. There has been improvement under him, but that improvement has got to be, it's got to be carried on. And there's got to be major investment. It's as simple as that. Some people should turn around and say, his lack of experience is telling, but if you're not in the job, how do you get that experience? And I trust Ollie. I trust Ollie. I would not like to see another manager come in at this stage where there would be major upheaval. Give him another year and let's see how we go, because that'll be his third year, his third complete year. And we'll see where we stand at the end of next season. But if there's no trophies at the end of next season, then I'm afraid the pressure will really be on.
Now, we're talking about a Manchester United team that ended up second in the Premier League, but pretty well off the pace of Manchester City, who will play this weekend against Chelsea. And, you mentioned it, Tom. There is an open sore and an obvious area that has to be improved. That is the centre-back position. They thought it would have been perfect with the signing of Harry Maguire and the money they spent on him. They have not found him the right partner. You're saying to me that they got to go to the bank on a centre-back.
Yeah, to me they have, or they've got to trust the young lad that came on today, Twan Azebe. He is a very, very good player. Eric Bailly. The weak link for me is Lindelof. That's the player who doesn't fit for me. He's so prone to making bad mistakes, and he's a centre back who's very easy bullied by physical, the typical barnstorming centre forward. So you've got to look at it that way. But if there's somebody available that's got that commanding dominance that you need, because when you look at the goals conceded by United this year, so many from set pieces and corner kicks, and really the frailty of them not being able to take responsibility, attacking the ball and what have you, I mean, we need someone demanding like that. And that's where, over the years we've missed centre-backs like Vidic and Yapstam. People you could really rely on, who were going to be the linchpin in the defence. And, if somebody does come available, but again, who is available, that's going to be the question.
So basically what you just told me, for the amount of ridiculous money they spent on Harry Maguire, they did not get that player.
No, he's not.
They did not get
not.
That dominating centre-back that you're talking about.
No.
Unbelievable.
No. Not in my opinion, Glenn, he's not.
And
when you look at United's season, I mean, it's been so frustrating. You look at the Premiership champions, Manchester City, they finished 12 points in front of Manchester United. United, against the three bottom teams, lost 12 points.
Yeah, it's a lot of points.
That puts it in perspective to me, and the points they threw away in games against Southampton, Crystal Palace, and it's a season. If you look at it in cold reality, you could say what could have been. But, for a club of that size, to be losing those amount of points against the three teams that were relegated, it's ridiculous.
Tom, last thing before I let you go, and I got about 45 seconds, I got to get out here quick.
Yeah.
You know, I mentioned something that I need to take back. Greenwood, I thought, actually played a little bit better than the others, and I thought he did have energy and stuff. Should Ollie Solskjaer have taken off, you know, should he have taken off Greenwood as opposed to Marcus Rashford? I know Rashford's a bigger name, but Rashford was struggling.
No, I don't care how big the name is. Rashford should have been hooked off there a lot earlier. I mean, his performance today, for me, was unacceptable. I just wish that had fell to Cavani, because that ball would have been in the net. But I mean, his whole performance, the way he was so easily dispossessed, lost the ball, his execution with his passing, I mean, it was just a poor all-round performance. And let's be fair, Glenn, if you look at his performances over the last few months, they've not been great. And young Greenwood, who brings that energy, and he's always likely to steal a goal for you. You know, he's been the one who's suffered for it. You know, he's been the one that's been pulled off. But to me, I couldn't understand him taking Greenwood off and leaving Rashford on.
Tom, thank you so much for coming on, and we appreciate it. It was great to see you this morning. Welcome back to Houston, and I look forward to seeing you soon. Thank you very much for your insight tonight.
In that respect, it's been a tremendous day, Glenn. It was great to see you, and thanks so much. And here's the next time we're in each other's company.
Yeah, and by the way, make this about today, all the people that came around you and the wonderful time you had, and let's make it less about Manchester United and the loss to Villarreal.
Yeah, it was tremendous.
Thank you, Tom.
Thanks, Glenn. Speak soon.
All right. That's the author, Tom Clare, and yes, we will speak soon. Hey, quick word here for Advantage BMW in Midtown. Now, I've leased, I bought from Advantage. Go down there. Go down there and see Steven. Go down there and see Justin. I love the drive of a BMW. Just so much fun to drive that vehicle. It's the ultimate driving machine. The other thing I like at Advantage BMW in Midtown, remember, it's the Advantage BMW Midtown location. They'll cover you on sales, service, finance. It can be done easy. Get in a 3, a 5, a 7 Series, get the X5. That's why I shop Advantage. You get a hometown advantage at Advantage BMW Midtown. They are proud sponsors of Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5. And by the way, you want to watch a Champions League this weekend at FM Kitchen and Bar? Or you can head over to Hugh O'Connor's Pub in the Marquee Entertainment Center. Walk and don't look back. It's Peter Tosh and Mick Jagger.
I'm Jordi Sunyer in Barcelona, and you're listening to Soccer Matters.
And that's as convincing as any penalty we've seen. David De Gea, unable to save any penalties, has got to score this one. Saved! There is a new name on European football's roll of honour, and that name is Villarreal!
So the party goes on. Ought to be in Eastern Spain right now. He did it in penalty kicks, and they did it against Manchester United. Coming back there with Communication by INXS. That was a great band. It's very sad the way that singer ended up taking his life. Michael Hutchence. I saw them once at the Astro Arena, and they were harder live, their sound. But what a concert. My goodness. What a show. Okay, so we welcome you back. Villarreal, obviously, today winning the Europa League. We talked about that. We got an open segment here before John Walker comes in. John will take phone calls in that segment. We'll do about 14 minutes with John. And if you have questions for the Dynamo president, well, it's going to be your opportunity to talk to him. He's done this before. He was very, very good on the last show that he was on. So looking forward to having him on and allowing you to have some connection with the president of the team. I'm the conduit here a lot, and I think you know that. Certainly I have opinions, but there's times for me to give my opinion. There's times for me not to. There's time for me to listen and learn as the host of the show, and we do a lot of that. A big thanks to Tom Clare for coming on in the beginning. By the way, something you may not know about Tom Clare, he is fighting cancer like there is no tomorrow. It is remarkable to watch him, what he's gone through, his attitude. I've driven a couple times down to his home. You know, this, as everybody knows who fights cancer, and I, you know, I'm just in awe of the human spirit, and you know, children and anybody who is afflicted with this disease, and you know, just a big in awe, I guess is how I'm going to put it, of Tom and his vibrancy and how he's you know, really gone after defeating this thing. And to everybody that's out there that has had loved ones with cancer, and I'm sure there's many people listening that have survived, haven't survived, friends, it's something we still want to create awareness around, and we'll be doing a lot now that things are beginning to open up with pediatric cancer again. And if you know Tom and his wife Cheryl have been big movers and shakers in the Houston soccer community dinner that creates awareness and raises money for the Snowdrop Foundation. And we're looking forward to doing that again as soon as we kind of get our bearings here and see how everything goes in the next month or so. Houston Dynamo talk here. Teenage Hadebe, 25 years old. He's a center back. He's left-footed. I mentioned this last night. 22 caps, 4 goals for Zimbabwe. He is left-footed. So that is piece of gold there that's important to think about here. Tim Parker's, you're not moving him from the right center back position. To have somebody left-footed there, like Minor Figueroa, is great. Legend. Still going to play with Honduras against the United States. Boniac Garcia has filled in wonderfully. Going to play for Honduras, likely against the United States. These two men are a combined over 70 years of age. It just can't keep going on, even though we're all in awe of where they are physically. But you have to find a center back for the future. That's been a priority. Tab Ramos has mentioned that. This guy plays, Teenage Hadebe plays at Yeni Malyaspor in Turkey. Played in South Africa for Kaiser Chiefs, which is a well-known team. Left-footed. That's a big piece there. And I'm wondering, you know, maybe the Dynamo can pick him up for, you know, somewhere between 1.2, 2 million on a transfer fee. But this one has legs. This one seems to have real legs. I have contacts in Turkey, this one has legs. Ake Loba in Monterrey. Now, there was a report put out about him being linked to Austin FC, the Portland Timbers, and the Dynamo. Not as sure on that one. He's generally a reserve, so he was kind of like in an Albert Elise situation. So not sure where that one's going to go. He's from the Ivory Coast, played for Querétaro as well. So that's what we got there. So we have John Walker coming up in the next segment. Marko Maric tonight. He's always a great and fun interview. In year two, he just looks like a better goalkeeper to me. He seems more confident. He seems like he understands the league more. He comes from playing in Norway in Lillestrøm, which is a very differing type of soccer than you see here in MLS. Then we've got the legendary Steve Nichol on the show later on tonight. So it's a jam-packed show. It's a good one. And really looking forward to putting the show out to everybody here tonight. And then we will have, of course, Jordi Sunyé from Barcelona, Spain, will come on tonight talking about Lionel Messi. I'm going to ask him about Lionel Messi's future. Will he stay at Barcelona? Ronald Koeman, there has been some talk in the press about Koeman being relieved of his duties. On the other hand, you know, they're going to have to pay him off if he's going to leave, and the Dutch Federation as well. And I don't know, can they afford to do that for a team that's in debt, $1.76 billion? So there you go. We'll also talk about the dramatic Atletico Madrid winning the title as well. Saturday, it is the Champions League. We're all going to be up for that one. It's one we won't miss. I will make sure all my game prep for the Dynamo Sporting Kansas City will be done so that between 2 and 4 o'clock or 4:30, I'm going to be able to watch that game fully. Full squad available for Pep Guardiola in Manchester City. I would have to think they're the favorites coming into this one against Chelsea. You let me know if you disagree. 713-780-3776. Unprecedented era of achievement for them, but also an unprecedented moment for Christian Pulisic You know, we could see an American holding up the UEFA Champions League trophy. In fact, we will, because I'm not sure Zach Steffen will play. Ederson's got the gig, but he is a member of Manchester City and has played for them. So an American is going to win the UEFA Champions League this weekend. It's a remarkable moment. What is also remarkable is that Manchester City plays with a false nine. And if you think about that, the Dynamo have done that a little bit with Maxi Arruti. But the false nine is interesting because it really kind of puts central defenders in two minds a little bit, because they're saying to themselves, well, do one of us break away and kind of come off our solid back line and break away and go higher up the field next to that player? It does pose challenges. So that's an interesting one. Ruben Dias. Steve Nichols got some comments on him. The Football Writers Association's Men's Footballer of the Year, Ruben Dias. Olivier Moultrie is a teenager that was being prevented from playing in the NWSL. Let her play. Jeez. 15 and 16-year-olds around the world can be professional soccer players. What is up with the NWSL here? They have age restriction. Won't let anybody play in the league until they're 18. Regardless of talent, maturity, their strength, their ability. I have not seen her play, I have to tell you that. But from what I'm hearing, Portland Thorns want her. She's challenging it. Let her play, because you know what's interesting? She could be she could work at a Portland Thorns game doing something else at 15, but not be a professional soccer player because of the NWSL. Yeah, she could be an usher, let's say. Olivia Moultrie, 15-year-old. I think you're going to end up seeing her play. No reason not to. I don't understand why the NWSL is so concerned about this. All right, we'll take a break. We're going to come back. Dynamo President John Walker is going to join us next. He will take your calls at 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. This is BT Express. Do it till you're satisfied.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real. Fun Sports.
I'm Greg Berhalter. You're listening to Soccer Matters with Glenn Davis on ESPN 97.5.
Greg Berhalter picking his Nations League roster, and it is very European-based, obviously, because a lot of those guys he does not want to use in the Gold Cup, so that he can keep relations with the clubs that a number of these players are playing on. Welcome back to Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. And don't forget, this is also a home for a number of English language broadcasts for the Houston Dynamo. Dynamo will be in action this weekend against Sporting Kansas City. That game will be on Channel 55. But right now we go to the president of the Houston Dynamo. He is John Walker. He's currently down at BBVA Stadium watching the Dash take on the Washington Spirit. John, how are you?
I'm doing very well, Glenn. How about yourself?
I'm doing great. Thank you for taking the phone call and coming on the air tonight. Again, listeners can call in and ask John a question if they want at 713-780-3776. John, I'll just start it off with what is a pretty easy one here. Dynamo fans are really interested in what's going on with the potential sale of the club. Ted Siegel's name has been brought up. There's been valuation put out there of over $400 million. What can you tell us?
Well, I certainly appreciate the question, and I'm excited to talk more about that, you know, when we get a little closer to that becoming final. But, you know, at this point, there's still a lot of T's to be crossed and the I's to be dotted. And so, you know, out of respect for the process, I think, you know, probably be best for me to just hold off for a couple of weeks before we can make anything official. But, you know, here's what I'd say, Glenn, is, you know, the fact that there's interest in the club and in the city of Houston as the home of a professional sports team, you know, somebody from the outside looking in and saying, hey, there's real potential there, I think is great news and certainly something that us on the inside know is, you know, to be true. And then second, I would just say, you know, in reading what we've been reading on social media over the last, you know, 4 or 5 days from our fan base and their excitement about it is really encouraging. And it just, you know, it just fortifies, you know, the way that those of us in the organization feel about the franchise and feel about the future. I mean, we've done some things here over the last couple of years to position the club, we think, very well for the future. And, you know, if there ends up being something that we can announce here in the next couple of weeks about a new vision and you know, a bit of a change of direction, you know, for the positive, I think that'll be great for Dynamo fans.
He's Dynamo President John Walker joining us here on Soccer Matters presented by the Daspit Law Firm. John, you know, now that we're back to a normal league schedule for both the Dynamo and the Dash, just take me into, you know, how you're feeling about things now as things are opening up. We're getting some normalcy. Are you seeing more people purchase tickets? Are you seeing more people coming to the stadium to your liking? You know, just kind of take us into that area because last year was just such a very unique and strange time.
Yeah, and you know, I'm glad you brought it up. It's been surreal, honestly, to be living, you know, with this professional sports team over the last year and a half. But to your point, you know, when we started the season, you know, we were still under some pretty strict guidelines relative to social distancing, masking, all of those kinds of things, and that was at about the same time, I believe, as vaccinations started to become available for certain segments of the population. And as we moved over the last 60 or 90 days, it's been remarkable the change in people's perceptions, consumer confidence in getting back out and getting, you know, into crowds again has been favorable and continues to evolve in a way that we're very optimistic that, you know, by, you know, we're targeting July 3rd right now as a, you know, slowly 100% available to sell the place out. And we certainly hope we do. You know, we're still living under MLS guidelines relative to some rows that are close to the stadium, close to the pitch. They're still being very protective of the players and coaches and the technical staff as they should. Those folks are still undergoing a lot of testing. But as people become, you know, more vaccinated and the general population as well as the team becomes more vaccinated, the restrictions are lifted. And it's great. It's great to actually be here tonight in the stadium and have fans, and the electricity is something we've really missed.
John Walker joining us. He is the Dynamo President, 713-780-3776. You know, John, in your short time here, obviously you had to go through a pandemic and everything. You know, what have you learned?
Well, I mean, the passion for soccer in this city is unmatched. And, you know, I had heard that and had done a little research before I came here 2.5 years ago. But having lived it now, it's, you know, it's tremendous. And it just gives me just great optimism for the future, Glenn. Our season ticket numbers are up again for the second consecutive year for both the Dynamo and the Dash. And, in fact, the Dash, we've exceeded their all-time total season ticket number, you know, on the heels of them winning the Challenge Cup last year and now having both Christie and Jane vying for spots in Tokyo. It's been great for Dash supporters. And, you know, on the Dynamo side, season tickets are up, and we're up in 2020, and then we got hit with COVID. And one might expect that would dip, you know, coming into 2021. And in fact, it's been the opposite. We had a 93% renewal of our season ticket holders coming into this year, and have sold enough new full season tickets to eclipse last year's number. So since this building was opened in 2012, and a tremendous season ticket base of 14,000 or 15,000, and that kind of dipped every year after that. And over the last 2 years, we've been able to reverse that trend, and it's on an upward trajectory, and we couldn't be more excited about that.
John Walker, Dynamo President. If you want to ask him a question, 713-780-3776. You guys made a tremendous hiring in Tab Ramos. That's my personal opinion. I see a lot of progress in a lot of areas. If, in fact, this comes off with new ownership, Do you feel he'll get more resources? Is this something that obviously I think would be discussed?
Well, it certainly would, and I think that's everybody's hope. I met with Tap today, and he's extremely excited about the club that we've been able to piece together for this season. You know, feels like there's certainly some pieces that we can add, and we may be doing that in short order. But he feels like there's a real difference in the vibe in the locker room, and that, he says, you know, having been a former player and a great player himself, you know, he knows that's foundational to winning and to creating that winning culture and the atmosphere that you want, where guys are supporting each other. And, that's how great teams are made. And he feels like there's a much better sense of that this year than there was certainly last year. You know, last year we were going through COVID and there was a bubble and all of those things that, you know, could potentially introduce, you know, complexities to creating a great culture. But he feels like this year, he's really got that. And, he's feeling very positive about it. That gives me excitement too. Just a quick update here. We just had a dash goal at the 9 minute mark. Yeah.
This is great. We're getting live updates from the president of Dynamo at the dash games. You got to love it. You didn't know you were making your radio debut, right, right, John?
I could use some tips on it. I could use some tips.
Well, you got to get me a goal scorer and a time now, okay? You got to get us a goal. I'm just messing with you.
I'll get some info.
Yeah, let me take you back to you know, the potential signings. I know there's a couple things. We were talking about a player in Turkey, a center back, and that was a potential for the Dynamo. So that's exciting and good news. In the case of the rebrand, how do you feel? You know, the rebrand was meted, if we're being very honest here, was meted indifferently. How do you feel the rebrand is gone? Have people taken to the new logo now? What do you think?
You know, I thought about that on the drive-in, Glenn. I thought you might ask that, and I thought some of the listeners might ask, and I'm certainly happy to take additional questions. You know, I felt good about it from the beginning, and it's because, you know, several things. One is, I certainly, you know, want to pay tribute and give thanks to everything that came before us. But, you know, this club is evolving and has been since I arrived, and partly actually before I started here in 2019, the end of 2018. And it's a new era in MLS, and we really believed that as we evolve as a club, Tab coming on board, the addition of the dash and sort of foundationally planting our flag that, you know, we're one club now, two teams, and, you know, the stuff we're doing at the sports park, all the things I said before, I think, you know, so certainly gave it good credence as to why you'd want to do it. And since we've done it, you know, I have heard from, you know, several people about their, you know, disdain for the new look. And I get that. They'll never get over it. And I appreciate the fact that they're loyal to the old brand. You know, we'll probably bring it back at some point as part of, you know, some sort of throwback. And I'm sure when we do, we'll sell a lot of jerseys, and that's great. That's not why we did it. I think if the stuff that you're reading about ownership comes to fruition, it just continues in that narrative about how this, you know, Houston Dynamo Football Club is a new club. And, I feel great about it, and, you know, not to bore those who aren't interested in the marketing aspects of it, but we wanted an American Marketing Association award last week for the best rebrand in the city of Houston in 2020. And, that's certainly not what we set out to do, but it validates a little bit that we were on the mark with it, at least from a creative standpoint.
John, you were on the mark hiring Tab Ramos. I think he's been excellent with the media. I think we still have to drum up more media attention. You can tell he's trying to change the culture and he's trying to weave everybody into it. Do you think the franchise has to become more transparent in the future? Does it have to extend the olive branch to some of the people that used to support the club that don't anymore? Is this a part of the future? Because I can tell you from my standpoint, Tab has been absolutely tremendous. And you can't have a more open coach that's talking about his team.
No, I agree with you. I mean, I know there are there are factions of the older fan base, the earlier fan base of the club that we, you know, we continue to try and make amends to and try and repair some things that may have been damaged. We've got a lot of new fans as well. You know, one of our goals is to be, you know, inclusive to all and to be welcoming to all. That's a sort of a core value of the club. And, you know, with changes and this evolution that you've seen over the last couple of years, it's been, you know, I wouldn't call it slow, but it's been, you know, it's been tactical, right? It's been one thing and then there's another thing and then we do this and then we do that. And I think ultimately in the end, we will have seen a progression of this club, and that will include what you said, you know, bringing fans back into the fold that maybe we lost at some point. And I'm encouraged by the increase in the number of season ticket holders that we have, and I'm, you know, for both teams, and I'm encouraged by the banter on social media that's very, very positive about what the future might look like. And I can just tell you on behalf of everybody that works at the club right now, we're super jazzed about the rest of the summer and getting both teams into the playoffs and trying to make a run.
Well, John, thank you so much for coming on the show tonight. We always appreciate it. We'll do it again real soon, and you can keep us updated on everything. Go back to enjoying the game down there, the Dash and the Washington Spirit. Thank you so much for coming on the program tonight, as always, John.
You got it, Glenn, and I will get back to you on coffee for next week.
There you go. Let's do it. That's John Walker. He is the Dynamo president, and we just had him live here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from BBVA Stadium. By the way, another thing to keep a big, big eye on is going to be the future of USL and MLS clubs that have USL, you know, like LA Galaxy 2. There's the thought that they're going to pull out. They're going to play in an only MLS league. I'm not sure I'm 100% behind that. And I'll talk a little bit more about this. I'm probably going to put an entry up on Facebook, Soccer Matters. Twitter, Glenn Davis Sock. Instagram, Glenn Davis Sock. Big thank you to John Walker for coming on. Stay with us. We've got Marco Maric coming up. We got Jordi Sunyer from Barcelona coming up. And we got the legendary Liverpool defender, Steve Nichol, coming up as well. We roll on here. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. I remind you, get over to FM Kitchen and Bar. Great craft cocktails, great food, chicken sandwiches, burgers, big outdoor area if you're still wading into it. Picnic tables, you can bring your dog. It's a great mix of a place. There was a ton of people, a large amount of people over there watching the Europa League final today, including a couple of former college players that I know. So there you go. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We've got more to come. It's Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. It is presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm.
ESPN 97.5.